The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As I was preparing the Gospel message this morning, I was just looking at the crowd and how the crowd that gathered around our Lord that day, how they could be a good model for us on how we can approach our relationship with God. And I was reminded about an encounter that I had many years ago. It was when I was a young boy, and I was living in California at the time, and Pope Shenouda came for a visit. It was the first time I had had a Pope Shenouda encounter. And it was at that, and I speak about it as an encounter because it really was, it was unlike anything I've ever seen or been to since. As we got there, the crowds were thronging to get inside the church, and I mean it was an unusual scene. There was like popcorn being sold, cotton candy. I mean it was like a festival of sorts. It was interesting. It was unique to say the least. But I remember this one person was like fighting so hard to get inside of the church, and like anything he could do to get inside the church, and. He was like negotiating, he was muscling his way. It was an unusual scene. But nonetheless, he got inside. And when he came out after the service was over, I remember my Arabic wasn't too good at the time, but I remember him sharing how excited he was, how he caught like a glimpse of a conversation that Pope Shenouda was having with someone else. And the guy was like, tell me, what was it about? What was it about? And he's like, I pushed my way to get real close. And he was telling him about how much he loves his dog. And he's like, best thing I've ever heard. And he was like talking about how Pope Shenouda loved his dog. And I'm like sitting there as a 12-year-old boy thinking like, this is what this man has like fought to get inside, was to hear how much like Pope Shenouda loved his dog. For me, it was the most unusual thing in the world, okay? Some of you are like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, that's normal, okay? And I would tell you, I think that's a very unusual and abnormal thing to do as a person when the Pope is coming, that that's where the focus was for this individual. And I say that story because I'm sure the day that our Lord was present that day, that there were not everyone was there for the same reason. That people must have shown up for all sorts of different reasons. To see their friends, to try to make a quick buck and selling some food at the market, whatever it may have been. But there was a large number of people that were told, and this is what the gospel records for us. It says, so as it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. They didn't press about him to hear a funny story about a dog. They didn't press about him to get close so that they might go back and tell their friends that they got real close and they even touched him. No, they pressed about him to hear the word of God. And St. John Chrysostom describes to us what this idea of pressing about to hear the word of God means. He says, for they clung to him with love and admiration, and they longed to keep with him with them. When he speaks, they listen to him in silence, interrupting him not. A couple weeks ago, when the various debates were on, specifically the vice presidential debate, Moore and I were sitting watching, and every once in a while, there are times where we'll be watching something, and she, like, I'll turn and say something to her. I'll give my commentary on it. And she's like, shh, I want to hear. This time there was none of that. Like, right, they're having their discussion and Mor and I are having our discussion about their discussion. There was no, like, enthusiasm to hear anything either of these debaters or any of the last couple of debates were saying, right? There was no excitement to hear. But when the Lord spoke, everyone waited with bated breath. No one dared to speak, not because they didn't want to get shushed, but because they didn't want to miss a word of what he was going to say. And when this word to press about him, when you like break it apart in the Greek, it literally means to press about with violent urgency. They were pressing about not only physically to get close, but they were silencing their thoughts and their hearts because they didn't want to miss anything that our Lord was about to say. We need to keep, to meet and to keep meeting Jesus in this way. We need to meet Christ with a sense of urgency that we don't want to miss a glimpse of him. That we don't want to miss a word, a syllable of his word when it's spoken or when we read it. That sense of urgency, I think when I look at this crowd, they weren't coming about because, at least the portion that St. Luke is describing here, they weren't coming about to hear funny stories. They weren't coming about to be able to say to people or to say to themselves, man, I feel good. I went and I saw him and I went and I left and I'm good. No, they had an enthusiasm to hear the word of God spoken. John chapter 21 gives another account using that same word to press about. Okay? But this time we find that Jesus, this is after the resurrection, he has come to sit and to eat with his disciples. And you want to remember what they're eating? Eating bread and fish, right? They're eating bread and fish. And we're told in John 21, verse 9, it says, then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread, right? So the fish and the dough are sitting on this fire of coals. And that word laid upon is the same word that's used for how the disciples pressed about Jesus. There was an urgency. What happens when you put fish and dough upon fire? The fire begins to seep into the dough and into the fish, and it transforms it. As the fire seeps into the bread, it transforms it from dough, to bread. And when it seeps into the fish, it broils it. It cooks it. It changes it to be edible. And this is how the crowd, when they pressed about Jesus, they pressed about him in such a way that the word would seep into them and it would transform them. It would never leave them unchanged. People oftentimes ask, why is it that I go to church or I read my Bible and I leave the same way? And I want to tell you, we need to approach the word himself, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist, as we worship, as we hear the word, as we read the word, in the same way like we would, like this crowd did. That we would perceive and we would see the voice of Christ like a hot charcoal fire. And we would approach it in order that it would change us. That we would press upon Jesus to hear the word. And when we press upon his word, something happens to us. The heat, the light, the energy, the very person of Christ comes inside of us and presses back upon us. And it changes us. That heat enters us. It fills us. It transforms our lives. And when we're transformed into disciples who are just like the disciples, they were pressed about. At the very end of this gospel, Jesus then turns to Peter and he says, you're going to become a fisher of men. Right? He tells him, you're going to be transformed by the word which drew you, which pressed upon you. You too are going to be transformed to become a fisher of men. And I want to tell you this morning, if we would press upon Christ, not just to hear a spoken word, but that that word would reside and seep into our hearts, into our lives, it would transform us in such a way that we would become fishers of men. That our lives, just like dough and fish that are uncooked, when fire seeps into their lives, it gives nourishment to those who consume it. That same substance, apart from that fire, would give a bellyache to a person who tries to eat it, or possibly even worse. If we would allow ourselves to pursue Christ with urgency this morning, I promise you, he is continuing to transform and to change lives. But I'll give you a caveat. It has to start now, but it can't stop when we leave and walk out of church. That pursuit is a daily pursuit, because once we've tasted and experienced the warmth of Christ, that warmth, that heat is something that we want to continue to press about. And when we feel cold, we're reminded that, what am I doing? Like, I need to come back and press about. This morning, I want to invite you to press with a sense of urgency upon Christ. To wrestle with God, just as Jacob wrestled with God. I love this passage. I believe it's in Genesis 29 or 32, somewhere in that section. Jacob is there with God, and God is telling him, and he's wrestling all night, and God says to him, like, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you touch me and you bless me. And we're told that when the angel of the Lord touched him, he was overjoyed. The angel of the Lord departed from him, and as Jacob left, he left with a limp. He began to dance, though, began to rejoice. As he rejoiced, he walked with a limp. Why? Because the angel of the Lord touched him. And as he touched him, he walked differently. It wasn't a limp of pain, of suffering. No, it was one that pointed to a transformation that came from being touched by God. This morning, I want to encourage you to refuse to leave liturgy and to say to the Lord, I refuse to leave until you touch me. I'm here to press about you. I'm not just here to gather. I'm not just here to hear a word. I'm not just here to consume something and leave. I'm here to encounter you. And I will not leave until I encounter you personally this morning. All glory be to his name forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.